All right, we went over the first few verses last week of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We went through 1 through 5, actually half of 5, because if you'll notice in my translation, I split verse 5 in the middle because it starts a new sentence. So we're going to pick up in the middle of verse 5 where it has the heading, Following Paul's Role Model. See that? All right, I'm going to read verses 5 through the end of the chapter, and hopefully we'll cover all that today. I'm going to try not to go over time. Notice I didn't promise, I said I'm going to try. All right, verse 5. Just as you have observed, this is what we became among you because of you, and you became imitators of us and of the Master, receiving the message in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so also to become role models to all the believing ones in Macedonia and Achaia. For the message of the Master has been echoed from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your trust towards God has come forth, so that we have no need to do any speaking. For they are reporting about us what kind of inroads we made towards you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the true and living God, and to wait for his Son out of the heavens, the one whom he awakened from among the dead, Jesus, the one rescuing us from the coming wrath. Now, let's go back to the beginning of, or the middle of verse 5 there. Just as you have observed, I think it says in your other translation, as you know, or something to that effect, doesn't it? Somebody looked that up for me in the New King James. This word, observed, is literally the word to see, but it's in a perfect tense, so it means something you have observed, but yet the results continue. So you know it because you've seen it, or you have observed it, or heard of it, or something like that. It's a word that, for know, that points to having experience. You know because of experience, okay? So he says, just as you have observed, this is what we became among you because of you. Now, what do you think Paul's talking about here? They became, Paul and his, now who's he talking about? Who's the we? Paul, Silas, and Timothy, right? That's how he starts off the book, Paul, Silas, and Timothy. We became this among you. We became this way among you. I want you to keep your finger there and flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want you, where Paul talks about his normal practice when he is amongst foreigners. And here he was clearly amongst foreigners. I mean, here he is a Jew, and he's right in the middle of Greece, a long ways from home, in a very foreign culture to him. Of absolutely a pagan culture. It was pagan to the core. 1 Corinthians chapter, what did I say?
Nine.
Thank you. I got my Bible on top of my notes. All right. All right. Notice what Paul says here about his normal practice. Verse 19. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law towards Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker of it with you. Now, you know what Paul's saying here? When I'm with the Jews, as a Christian, Paul's a Christian, right? He is a Jew who is a follower of Jesus Christ. And he says, when I'm with the Jews, when I'm with my own people, how did Paul behave?
As a Jew.
Which means He followed the customs and the laws of the Jews. That is the law of Moses. That is, when Paul was amongst Jews, just Jews, he ate kosher. He observed the festivals. He observed the way Jews were supposed to dress and so forth. All the things. In other words, he didn't do anything that would be offensive to the Jews in their culture, in their setting. He did everything that was consistent with them. Now, why would Paul do that? Did Paul need to eat kosher? Could Paul have a ham if he wanted a ham? Sure. In fact, he told us we could have ham. You can eat anything. All things are good and can be eaten as long as it's, you know, done with prayer and thanksgiving. Paul didn't eat a ham when he was with his Jewish relatives or his Jewish people. He didn't want to be offensive to them. You know what Paul was trying to do? Paul understood the message of Christ and the message of the gospel and the commandments of Christ. He understood them very well. And he knew that the commandments of Christ and living as a Christian will work in a Jewish setting. It'll work fine in a Jewish setting. It was given in a Jewish setting, right? It's not in conflict with a Jewish setting. So when he's with Jews, by modeling Christian behavior within a Jewish setting, he is setting an example for his Jewish friends about what being a Christian is all about. Is being a Christian eating ham? No. Is being a Christian, breaking the Sabbath day? You know, going out and partying on the Sabbath? No. Being a Christian had to do with certain principles and following the commandments of Christ, even in a Jewish setting. Now, when Paul went to Greece, he's like on Pluto, or as far as from his Jewish culture is concerned. He's in a totally different culture of these Gentiles who were pagans. What did he do there? Here's what he did. He took the teachings of Christ and he adapted them to the Greek culture, which means he was perfectly comfortable dressing like a Greek. He was perfectly comfortable having ham. He was perfectly comfortable with any of the other Greek customs or diets or anything like that that they did, as long as they didn't conflict with the message of Christ. Because, you know, the message of Christ wasn't only to the Jew. It was to the Jew first and also to the Greeks. Isn't that right? It was when he sent his apostles out to preach the gospel. He said, you know, they start in Jerusalem and in Judea, and then what? To the uttermost parts of the earth. And they're going out into all of these different kinds of cultures. You know, one of the problems with American missionaries is that, sometimes, not always, but some of them tend to want to import American Christianity into a foreign society. You know, that you dress like we dress, you eat what we eat, you comb your hair like we comb our hair, and, you know, and you sing the same songs that we sing, and all that kind of stuff. So what that does is it creates an impediment to the message of the gospel. Paul was concerned with the core message of the gospel, the real teachings of Christ, how he could figure out, when he gets to a particular place, how he could figure out how to adapt those within the customs and the culture of the people that were there. And then he lived like that to model Christianity in a Greek culture or whatever the culture happened to be where he was. So what Paul was doing essentially is saying, look, here's what Greek Christianity looks like. And then he acted and behaved like a Greek Christian should behave. Right? It's not a cultural thing. It's about following Christ. So go back to our passage here. He says, just as you have observed this is what we became among you because of you. That is, Paul's behavior when he got to Greece, he wasn't acting like a Jew amongst Gentiles. When he was with Gentiles, he's acting like them. He says, we became this among you because of you. And you, notice this, you became imitators of us and of the Master. Now, it's easy to see how they became imitators of Paul. Here's Paul modeling what Greek Christianity ought to look like. in his behavior, him and Silas and Timothy. They're modeling this in that culture. And he says they became imitators of us and of the master. Why does he say "and of the master"? How could they imitate Christ? How could these Thessalonians, these Greek Thessalonians living so far away from the Holy Land, how are they imitating Christ? Jesus, you know, when Jesus was here on earth, he never left the Holy Land. He never left Israel. He didn't go anywhere. He was just walking around Israel.
Because they were imitating Christ, and by imitating them, they're imitating
okay,
Christ.
That's exactly right. You see how that works? If the apostles were faithful to the teachings of Christ, even though they were not being faithful to the Jewish customs, but only to that part which is essential to the gospel message and being a Christian, by adapting it to a culture, now by the apostles, by Paul the apostle and Silas and Timothy modeling this behavior, these people are, by modeling them, are now modeling Christ. They're not acting like a Jew. They're not going up to Jerusalem to keep the festivals. They're not doing any of that stuff. But they're still modeling Christ. Because Christ is not about culture. Christ is not about customs. He is about God's nature and God's character and keeping God's commandments. Okay? So that's the point that he's making. Now look at the next clause. He says, receiving the message in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you remember when I gave you the introduction to this series on Thessalonians, we read from Acts chapter 16 and 17, but particularly in verses 1 through 15. I'm not going to go and read it again because I don't want to take the time. But if you look at how this church was established, it was established by basically a riot starting in the synagogue because Paul went there to preach Christ, and most of them rejected Paul and the message, and so they turned to the Gentiles, and then the Jews got jealous because all these Gentiles are coming to Christ and embracing the Jewish Bible, the Hebrew Scriptures, the prophecies of the Messiah, all the things that the Jews are supposed to be looking for. They're embracing all of that. They became jealous, and they began to persecute Paul. Do you remember what happened after that? They ran him out of town, right? They ran Paul out of town. Do you know where he went after that? Do you remember? Yeah, he went to Berea. Here's Thessalonica. He went right here to Berea, the next town. And the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, right? Because it says they received at the synagogue, they received the word. And they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. But you know what happened after that? News got back to Thessalonica that the Bereans synagogue was embracing Paul and embracing his message. And so what did they do? They send a mob over there to run him out of Berea. All right, it got pretty hectic for Paul and for those who had embraced the gospel of those in Thessalonica. All right, so let's continue reading verse 7. So also to become role models to all the believing ones in Macedonia and Achaia. Macedonia and Achaia are, this is Achaia, this is Macedonia. Today, all of this pretty much is Greece. It's just upper and lower Greece. So it's basically the country of Greece. Now, notice what he's saying here. This is really important. He says, verse 6, you became imitators of us and of the master. And then in verse 7 he says, so also to become role models to all the believing ones in Macedonia and Achaia. For the message of the master has been echoed. I love that. Or reflected. But the word literally means echoed. The message of the master has been echoed from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your trust towards God has come forth. Look what's happened here. I want you to see the chain of effect that has taken place. Christ came and he modeled God in front of his disciples. Isn't that right? His disciples then, he sent out to preach the gospel, and they modeled Christ in front of, in this case, a Greek pagan culture. And now the pagan culture, or I'm sorry, these Greek Christians who were converted are now modeling the behavior that they saw in Paul and Silas and Timothy. And what happened then? it goes a step further. Now they became role models, not only in their city, but to all of Greece. They have become role models. Do you see how important setting an example is? Isn't that right? Isn't that how Christ taught? Isn't that why the Father sent the Son? Why did he just drop a book out of the sky? You know, I mean, why did he just drop a book down and say, okay, here's my commandments, do them. Like he did, with Moses in Mount Sinai. You know, write them on stone, here they are, do them. What does he do? God became flesh and dwelt among us. And then he modeled godly behavior in front of his disciples. It impacted the disciples. The disciples impacted these Greek Christians, and these Greek Christians impacted all of Greece. Only by modeling the example that they had in their immediate presence. Now, words are great. You can learn a lot by listening to a speech, right? You can learn a lot by reading a book, but you learn much, much more by seeing things demonstrated in front of you. Isn't that right? Isn't that true? And that's exactly what we have here. You know, this is something that we as a church, all of us as a church, as a body, should be very cognizant of. And that is what effect on other people our Christian life has. People are watching us. They see what our behavior is. They see what our priorities are. They see how we react to all kinds of different situations, right? We react in anger, or we do things that are not good representations of Christ. We're destroying that chain of modeling Christ to those who are around us. But it's the same in the church as well. The leaders in the church are supposed to be leading by example. Isn't that right? That's what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, that the elders are supposed to do. We're leading by example. All of us, whether we're in leadership or whether we're just members in the congregation or whatever we are, we need to be cognizant of this. So, I'm going to ask you guys a series of questions. Is it easily apparent from your consistent behavior that you are striving for growth, unity, and cohesiveness of this congregation? Is it easily apparent to all the members of our church that you have a servant's heart, that you're willing to get your hands dirty? Is it easily apparent that you are living holy before God and man? Is it easily apparent that you are a man or a woman that's united in prayer with your spouse? I'm going to ask you guys to raise your hand, all right? Here's my question. No, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. I want you to, in your mind, raise your hand or not raise your hand. Do you spend time with your spouse daily praying together? Don't raise your hand. You don't have a spouse. You know what a spouse is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I knew you did. Yeah.
And you mean in the traditional biblical sense of a spouse?
Yes. Yes, not in the modern sense of a spouse in California. Do you do that? Do you pray together? You know, really, that's part of your responsibilities as a couple, is to pray together. And you should be doing that. Is it easily apparent to your kids as a couple that you are living in the way that God commands a husband and wife to live, as Ephesians 5 has to say? Is it easily apparent what your real interests are by what you talk about most often? You know, some people, when you talk to them, they always seem to steer the conversation to a particular topic that they're interested in, right? Okay, but what's most important to you? You know, you can tell for most people what's the most important thing in their life by what they tend to steer the conversation to. Isn't that right? You know, some people, all they want to talk about is movies. Some people, all they want to talk about is music or a whole host of other things, right? Fashion. Somebody was talking about fashion earlier today. I can't remember who that was. Just kidding. That's a joke. Is it easily apparent to all that you are pursuing the kingdom of God first? That's your first priority. Here's another one. Is it easily apparent that you are not enamored by material things? You know what? I'm gonna make the sermon short. You can't fool people with a facade. Did you know that? A lot of people put on a facade that everything's good spiritually with them, or with them as a couple, or with them as a family, or with them, however, as a church member or as a leader or whatever it is. A lot of people put on a facade. But you know what? Most people can see right through it. Most people. And you're only kidding yourself. And look, I'm talking about me too, okay? We're only kidding ourselves when we do that. Put on a happy face and pretend everything is cool, but it's really not. You know what? What I really desire for this church is that we become what Paul says about the Thessalonians here. You know, that we seek to mirror Christ in our lives and then impact each other in the way that we're doing that.